So happy to be here and just to get into God's Word today. So let's do it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Today we're going to talk about things that were related actually to the Word that was just spoken by Andrea. And I want to thank you, Andrea, for just allowing the Lord to speak through you here today. And for those of you that don't know, I give Andrea permission to do that because we want to acknowledge gifts. And I noticed her gifts in private prayer meetings to begin with. And I just appreciate her yielding to the Lord for things. And it kind of goes along very much with what I want to speak about today. You were talking about the gifts and what the Lord wants to give from His heart. And we're going to talk about what that ministry is, to have truly a gifted ministry here today in this message. So we start here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Where Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. In other words, we don't use that word a lot. We don't say, I beseech you. But it's basically like a begging, a pleading. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. How do we do that? With all lowliness and gentleness. With long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, what a great beginning to understand the calling. But if you're taking notes, I want you to write at the top that you walk worthy of your calling. What is the calling that you and I have been called to? What have we been asked to join up to? Because there have been so many messages in the church at large and in the modern American Christian church that I don't think that we're really coming to understand what Ephesians 4 has been teaching all along. It's been in our Bible the whole time, but I haven't seen much practice of it. But I think that there is a yearning that we should be having and that God has for the gifts to be in the church and for the gifts to be used in the way that they're meant to be. And it starts with this heart, this calling heart. That is with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. There is a joining together of the body that we come into. Though we each accept Christ of our own free will and volition, though we all make a personal confession of who He is in our lives, though we all must seek, that we all must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, that we all must express the faith, the hope, and the love in Him, we are joined together in a body of believers. That we together can be the body of Christ and do His will and work on this earth according to what the Father is doing through Him, has done through Him, is yet to do through Him, that God our Father may be in each one of us, that our Father would receive the glory that He is so worthy of, and that we would be children being formed and shaped into His image. And so He says here, verse 7, so to each one of us grace was given. To how many was grace given? Each. Linda was first. Right up here in the front. You're such a good student. She sits in the front every time. She brings teacher gifts, right? So thank you. To each one of us, grace is given. Have you received of the grace of Jesus Christ? Do you know what that is? We're going to talk about that more. According to the measure of Christ's gift, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, sometimes that's a little confusing, this whole concept of captivity captive. But we were held captive in the world, under the sway of it, under the deception of Satan. And what Jesus has done is made us captive to him, to his love, to his mercy, to his justice, to his ways. He has led captivity captive to bring us together, to join us into this body of believers together. And he gave gifts. And notice what he says here in verse 11. What did he give? It says, and he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. What is the calling? To come to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're headed. That's what we were called into. that the body would be a reflection of the head. That he who has the leadership in our lives, he who is the Lord of our lives, he who's doing the thinking, the directing, that we would be his body. That we would come to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we would no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may do what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Jesus, the Messiah. That is where we're headed. Do you have a vision of where you're headed? Because if we don't have the vision of where we're headed, how do we expect to get there? You know, if you get in your car and start driving and you're heading to New York, you need to know you're going to New York. If you just start driving, who knows where you end up? If you get on the roads and just start going, where do you end up? The plan is, there's a destination here. Do you know what you were called to? God predestined you that you would be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That we are being joined together into this family of God. The family of our Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, as it says in Ephesians 3. But speaking the truth in love, may he grow up in all things in him who is the head, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So did you know that God gave gifts to the church so that we, church, would be equipped for the work of ministry? Do you come here realizing that's why you're here? Because if you haven't been taught that before, let it be today that you grasp hold of what this is. The church was never designed to be basically participants or consumers. And unfortunately, in our culture, we have made this a consumer thing where there are those that have been gifted and there are those that just come and sit and take. And it's never been designed to be that way. That is not the body of Christ. The body is living and moving and active, where every part is doing its share in Jesus Christ, that we're all connected to the head. And being connected to the head and having the direction of the head, we come together for the glory of our God in heaven, and we come together for the service of each other. So if you haven't been receiving that calling, receive today. You've been called to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to grow up in him so that you can be who God wants you to be, to do what God called you to do by his grace. And in doing that, the body comes to edify itself in love. And so he gives gifts. Let's look at these gifts for a moment that he gives. First, he says an apostle. An apostle is one sent forth by God to preach the gospel, to send forth people to raise up churches, to go from city to city teaching the word of God. And maybe the clearest example of this was of Jesus' 12 disciples and the apostle Paul. We read about it in the book of Acts, right? Where did they go? They were sent forth. How did we know they were apostles? Because they were sent forth. They were told to go do things. Remember, the Holy Spirit set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry, the work that I've called them to do. What were they called to do? Go preach the gospel. Go raise up churches. Go to different places. Preach, teach, edify, exhort, show the way. This is a part of the church. Notice evangelists, the bringer of good news. Evangelists are ones who go around sharing the gospel, calling on people to turn away from the world and its ways, to come to Jesus Christ. And so they go about, and as it says in the instruction in the word, to preach the word, to convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching, despite the rejections and afflictions that they face. That's the calling of an evangelist. Share the word. Go around. Tell people it's time to turn away from the world. Turn back to God. They proclaim the gospel and evangelize. Timothy was a beautiful example of one that was sent forth to do this. And Paul said, fulfill the work of an evangelist, this ministry, this service. This is what you are to do. And he was told to do that in the church. Next is prophets. A prophet is one who speaks the word and the will of God. The prophet is the one who receives the words of the Lord, the gifts from the Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit to declare to people the blessings, the help, the encouragement, the correction, the chastening, and the warnings that come from God. If you think of Elijah and Elisha, they were two pretty strong examples with lots written about them. There's many more, though, in the scriptures. What were they doing? They were coming forth in giving annunciations. Andrea prophesied today. She spoke on behalf of the Lord, not her own words, but as the Spirit moved her, she spoke not of her own will, but of what God wanted to say and proclaim. Now, you hear words, you test and you try, but you do these things because you want to have the insights that God brings through prophets, apostles, evangelists, prophets. Next is pastors. Pastor is a word that only really appears here in Ephesians 4. Every other time it's found in the Bible, it's about shepherd. And pastor kind of denotes that you're shepherding not actual sheep, but you're shepherding the flock of God. But every other time you see this word used in the New Testament, it's going to be translated shepherd. And a pastor, a shepherd, is responsible for creating the church culture and the environment for growth and development of the flock individually and collectively. To create this place to provide love, encouragement, comfort, instruction, and even correction as is needed. And so, probably no better example than Jesus himself with his 12 disciples. What was he doing? He was teaching them the way. He was creating a culture of faith, of hope, of love. He was creating a culture of humility, of service, of surrendering of life, of taking up the cross daily and following him. He was creating a place where they could be nurtured and cared for and edified, where they could be empowered, where they could practice, where they could learn, and yes, even be corrected by him when they were going astray, that he could put them back on the track. And the thing is that he created an environment for the development of disciples, and that is what a pastor is to do, create the environment for the development of the flock. And then we have teachers. Teachers, one who teaches, who has studied the Word of God and has been given understanding and wisdom to skillfully share the truth as it is given by God. A teacher has a passion to share the Word. A teacher has a passion to want to tell people about God's character and directing them to know God's Word and the doctrine as opposed to man's. Again, that they wouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but they would know what God's word says, cherish what God has said, and to try to live by it, walk by it in faith. Now, how many of you have been in a church that embraced the apostles, the evangelists, the prophets, the pastors, and the teachers as part of the gifts to the body? Six. You can't say this one. I don't know if we really have. I believe everything that we have read in Ephesians 4, but I don't know if we really believe this. You know, it's interesting as I look back at the churches I've attended for longer periods of time and shorter periods of time, it hasn't been part of the fabric of the church. Mostly ministers, pastors, teachers. I've never been in a church that recognized a prophet before. Not till this one. But before this, I haven't. And we haven't even done it really as of yet. Apostles, that seems something too far off that it could ever be. Evangelists, well, yeah, we have people that evangelize. Happy. He evangelizes. Do you know how you become an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher? You get given to be one by God. It's not a thing of man. This does not come from man. Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. He does it. It's not revocable by man, and it can't be infused by man. It is not a title apart from practice. Do you know how a prophet becomes a prophet? God causes them to prophesy, and they do it with enough regularity where they're now characterized as a prophet. How does one become an apostle? God sends someone out to go do his work, and they've done it now, and they do it, and they can be recognized. He's being sent forth by God to do that. Sometimes we look at these things as if they're titles. I was in a church that it had a system that linked to these in some way, but also just to like, well, if you're going to get promoted, private, I mean, believer, you're going to be a deacon. And if you get promoted, you become an elder. And then if you get promoted, you become like a teaching elder, like a teacher or a preaching elder. And then if you're good, you get to associate pastor or maybe assistant, then full pastor, and then evangelist, but it all stops there. Because there are no prophets here, and an apostle is too high of a title. Maybe except for one. And we humanly look at this as if it's a ranking system as opposed to an identification of the gifts God is giving to the body. For what reason? To equip saints for work of ministry. That is why he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. In other words, the point of them was not to be on a pedestal. If you got me on a pedestal, take me down. If you want to see me as I am, see me as your servant. I would rather you see me as a servant as opposed to anything else. I am here to help. I'm here to encourage. I am here to support. I know my brother Scott feels the exact same way. All of this nonsense, the way man looks at things, just get rid of it. We are the church. Some may be further along. Some may be gifts God has given for specific purposes within the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there's more. We haven't got to those yet. Those aren't the only ones. Those are just where we're starting today. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Do you all know you were called by Christ to have a calling to come to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to engage with God so you can minister? See, I'm a failure if I don't encourage you to minister, if I don't help you rise up to what God wants you to be. I am here for this purpose. This is what I serve. It is not to be over. It is to be under. To make myself low. To esteem your interests better than my own. This is what Jesus did when he gave his life for me. It is what I do if I give my life for you. It is what you do as you give your life for others. And it keeps going on. Those who come to salvation receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. And they begin the walk of sanctification, the process of a regeneration by the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? So that they can take of the grace that God has given and be what God wants them to be. Till what point? Till what point? Till we're no longer tossed to and fro. Till we all grow up into him. Until we all edify ourselves in love. Do we see the ministry that God has created is like a perfect body that takes care of itself? Your arms can't say, well, we're showing up, we're part of the body, but we don't do anything to help. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if parts of the body just said, hey, I'm here for what you give me, but I'm not here to give back? That would be a mistake. But we command our body to take care of every other part. That when one member suffers, we all suffer. That one member's rejoicing, we all are rejoicing. That we are tending to one another for the care of the body. So we have these things. Let's turn over to Romans 12. Let's just start in verse 1. I beseech you. Again, notice, just like we read in Ephesians, right? I beseech you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said, I want you to walk worthy of the calling. What do you need to do? Present yourself. If you're taking notes, put it on the list. I need to present myself as a living sacrifice. In other words, I'm available, Lord. Here I am, all to you. All I am, I surrender. We sang the song, you know, it'll be my joy to say, your will, your way. That is a delightful thing. just to let go of the things of this world and all the agendas and the ambitions that we can have and say, my whole boast in life is to know you and to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to bring you honor and glory. For you are worthy. You gave me this life. And so we present ourselves, and we will not be conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That should be our mindset. I'm available for what? To do your will, God. To do your will. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Think soberly. Always look to take the low position. Let God raise you up. He says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So, if you're like, well, what am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, administrator, helper, something else? You know, it's going to be evident by the walk that you have with the Lord, because what will be manifest is exactly who you are and what he wants you to do. You don't need to stress. You need to present. You don't need to work it out on your own. You need to deliver yourself to him. Do you think that he couldn't take a person who was sold into slavery by his own family, who was then falsely accused, who was then put in prison, who was then forgotten there, couldn't be raised from the prison cell to second in command of all of Egypt? Do you believe what it says of Joseph? Do you know who we serve? There's nothing limiting God. He can do as he wills. The thing is not for us to work it out by our power, or by our own might. It's by his spirit that we become who we are. It is to the glory of God that he does this work in our lives as we are joined to the head, Jesus Christ. And so he says, this is the way it is. So don't think more highly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We believe, therefore, we are prepared to do. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Again, it was interesting that Dusty was talking about this at the men's breakfast this morning. And we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. If you're taking notes, write that down. We are members of one another. We are individuals, but we are members of one another. The whole concept of the modern day independent Christian theory, I want you to throw that out. That is not the calling. The whole calling, that it's just about you and God, and it's like the body doesn't matter. Other people don't matter. You just take care of yourself. Show me. Because I can tell you, there's verse after verse after verse. It's all about care for one another, bearing with one another, loving one another, esteeming one another, coming together. If you think fellowship's about you and being with the Bible and God, and it doesn't overflow to a body and a fellowship, you're missing what you were called to. So today, let it be a change. So then what does he say? Having then gifts differing according to the grace. What is grace? It's so ill-defined in Christianity. It is so ill-defined, as if to be something that was unmerited. Though here it is spoken of Jesus, that he had grace. He didn't need anything unmerited. He was without sin. The grace that comes is so much more powerful. It is the empowering presence of God, the favor that comes from him, by which he brings his life and presence to us, looking upon us and comes in. And you know what happens when God comes into our lives? Gifts manifest. Gifts manifest because of the presence of him. That's really what grace is about. That God is saying, I'm coming into your life. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you'll produce fruit. If you don't abide in me, you don't. So where is our focus and attention when we think about gifts or about what role or service that we have in the church? It is all about being joined to the head. It is not about us having ambitions for it. It is not about us wanting to work it out apart from the will and the way of God. But notice he says here, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given, let us use them. Not hide them, not conceal them. Let us use them If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. This is the core and the heart of all of this. God gives gifts for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, a work that is done when we give preference to one another, when we humble ourselves before one another to say, I will devote my time, my energy, my life to being a blessing to other people, to being a blessing to my God. See, that is the heart and the passion of our Father. That is the heart and the passion of Jesus. And it is the heart and passion of every disciple of Jesus. And we come to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as we empty ourselves, as we surrender our will, our pride, our lusts, our desires for the glory of the Most High. And as He lives in us, we are transformed. There is a renewing in our mind and in our lives. And the power and the glory of God come upon us in ways to serve that we can't do on our own. How do you become a prophet? God gives you a gift of prophecy. You use the gift according to your faith and you fill the role. How do you become a teacher? God gives you the gift of teaching, so you teach. How do you become an apostle? God sends you forth, so you go. He gives you gifts differing according to the grace that you would use them for what He wants you to do. And the gifts He gives you cause you to do works that then you're recognized for what you do. God puts you in positions of service to the body and in this world by His choosing. No man can revoke what God wants to do in your life. There is no holding it down if it's what God wants for you to do. But in all of our seeking, let us make sure that we understand that it is He who decides. And the humility that needs to be built in us must be at the foundation of all genuine ministry. Because otherwise it just becomes about ego and vanity and head trips. And it can't be. Not in the body of Christ. Everything we do must be to the glory of God and for the good service of one another. So He says here, not lagging, verse 11, in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Use everything I give you for these things, He says. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice with me here in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now that word diversities, differences, and diversities again in verses 4, 5, and 6, it's the same word in the Greek. I think they just didn't want to translate it three times in a row in the New King James, but it's the same word. But it basically just means this, different kinds. Sometimes when we think about what gifts we want, we look at somebody else's gift and say, I want that one. You know, I want to sing like Izzy. No, David, you can't sing like Izzy. I know, but I want to. I love his voice. It's so pure and clear, right? It's a beautiful singing voice, and thank you for using it. But see, he was given a talent, and he uses his talent to serve all of us when he sings. Those who have been given the gift of singing, they can sing and lead us in musical worship of God, praises and rejoicing before Him, and it's a sweet thing to hear them sing. And the thing is that this is what God desires, but notice, it's different. we don't have the same kind. Not everybody is going to be a pastor. In fact, you probably weren't gifted to be a pastor. If that's not where you feel your calling is in life, maybe it's to be a teacher, maybe an apostle, maybe a prophet, maybe an evangelist. Maybe it's to be in service. Maybe it's to be hospitable. Maybe it's to be caring for the flock in all the different ways that we just read in Romans 12 and we're going to read more about here. But this is what I want you to see. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. That's what gift is. In the Greek, it's charis or charis. It's the word for grace. C-H-A-R-I-S is how we spell it in the English. And gifts are charisma, and it basically means exactly this. The manifestation of grace. The manifestation comes out in the gifts that you've been given by the Lord. And the manifestation then, this grace that you've received, is always meant to be shared and given. That's how you fulfill your role within the body. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Who's it given to? Does that mean you, Linda? It does. Cal, how about you? It does. Does anybody disagree? You've been given it. If you've received of God's grace, you've been receiving from Him. And now He says the manifestation of that grace of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So much of our lives as human beings is reacting to what other people say, think, and do. If you and I can understand what we've read so far today, that our whole lives are to be humbled before God, and we are to have a preference to one another, esteeming others greater than ourselves, giving preference to each other, and almost not even caring how we're treated, but knowing that we do it in service to the Lord and realizing that every gift I've been given is for the profit of all. And you realize it's for the profit of all, regardless of what you might actually personally like or dislike about that person. The church will grow. Do we understand why He said forbearing with one another, with all long suffering, coming together? We humanly, we make so many judgments of each other, and it limits our love and our service to the body because we don't like what's happening there. And the thing is, Christ gave His life for everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, and that's a pretty wide and broad word, isn't it? That whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He's opening the door wide saying, come believe. And you know what happens is we all start on this broad way that we all are walking in, and we're all walking to Christ. And as we come to Christ, it gets narrower and narrower. We get closer and closer. But it doesn't mean we're not coming from different angles. It doesn't mean that we don't have things that we're like, oh, that looks ugly over there. Yeah, but you haven't looked in the mirror lately. We have these things. And the honesty is to say, I've got my things, they've got their things. It doesn't matter. I can love you no matter where you are. I can serve you no matter where you are. And the gifts I've been given are for the profit of everybody. God sends His rain on the just and the unjust. God sends His love and His gifts and His servants through His church on the unjust. It's so easy to look and to judge and to try to elevate self when what God is saying, no, take yourself lower that you might be of service to everyone who needs the same justification that brought you to me. We are saved by Him. We are justified by Him. We are sanctified by Him. We are set apart for His use, that we would be holy, prepared for every good work. And so He says here, for to one is, verse 8, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith through the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one. Each one as He wills. Are you available for what He is giving you by His grace? Do you desire for the gifts of God to be manifesting in your life for the good of the body to the profit of all? This is the question we have to ask. Is this what we're doing? Are we making ourselves available for what God wants to do? And are we even recognizing what God has set up in Ephesians 4 and in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12? Is this is the way? This is how the body comes together. We're not going to read it, but it goes into the whole beauty of the body here. And we'll just drop down. We'll just grab a hold here in verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And notice, God has appointed these in the church. And see, this is where I think it's disturbing to me personally when I'm being honest before the Word and say, He appointed what? Apostles. That was the first. And we see that in the disciples who He called, right? There was no moving up. He sent them out. They were apostles because they were sent out by Him to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to proclaim Him. Why were they apostles? Because they did the work. He appointed first in the church apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings or healers, helps, helpers, administrators or administrations. I think it's the Weymouth translation. It says those with the power of organization. It's like, yes, the power of organization. I love that. It's awesome. Varieties of tongues. Now listen, are all apostles? Nope. Are all prophets? Uh-uh. Is everybody a teacher? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? In other words, it's going to be different. You know, there are churches that have delved into the ministry that we're teaching today, and they say, well, everybody has to speak in tongues. My Bible says otherwise. My Bible says that the manifestation is given to each one by the same Spirit who distributes these gifts as He wills. As He wills. So we're not looking for a particular gift in this body. What we're saying is, let's make ourselves available to God to receive of the Spirit, that the grace that He has given to us would be manifest for the good service of others. That's what we want. And everything that we are doing is trying to encourage each of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to grow in the way that we see and understand so that we can be available for that service, whatever it is, at whatever stage of life. Sherwin is going to go to a place to live apart from here. And I hope the things that God has blessed you with and that Jesus blessed you with, Sherwin, that they go with you, that you powerfully go and declare the good things that Jesus has done in your life to everybody you meet. And the thing is, that is what we do. And God blesses us with different gifts and different ways to testify. We all can tell of what Jesus has done for us and how He has brought us to Him to do this. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to notice what it says in verse 31. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Are you doing this? Is this part of your walk with God? Do you earnestly desire the best gifts? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 again reminds us of exactly what Paul taught in Romans 12 and exactly what we saw in Ephesians 4, is that all gifting, all service that is found in the body of Christ that is genuine and true comes from a place of humility. Not looking to lord over another. Looking to serve and lift up people to edify the body of Christ. Everything is about equipping one another for the work of ministry in all the different ways. And so how does it come forth that somebody prophesies? It comes forth from seeking the Lord, from being with Him, from hearing from Him, from having faith and being willing to exercise the gift. Let him who prophesies, prophesy. Let him who teaches, teach. Let him who gives, give liberally. The whole concept is that God has blessed us with gifts for the good of the body, that we could do it together. And He says, now, use these things. But notice, chapter 13, 1, He says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, it's like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If we do this for our own ego, for our own pride, for our own reputations, it's just nothing. It's as obnoxious as a clanging sound. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, notice that, so that I can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I'm doing this because of my own self-interest and not for the glory of God and the service of others, even the best faith in the world means nothing. It's nothing. If I don't care about people, it's nothing. So in our administration, we administrate with love. In our service of one another, we do it with love and consideration. When we're hospitable, we do it with love and consideration. Not so people say, oh, look how gracious he is. He's always hosting people. No, but host people because you love them and want to care for them. Do we do what we do to be seen? Friends, we live in a society that's all about being seen. We post on social media. We want everybody to know our private thoughts toward each other, even when we express them maybe in private beforehand. It's like, why do we do that? I mean, that person's living with you. What is this motivation that we have, that we want our good feelings toward others to be seen in public when they've already been shared in private? I always find it odd. And I find it odd in myself. What is this thing that we want recognition, that we want praise? What is that? Because the genuine article of coming to Jesus Christ is he emptied himself of his glory. He came in the form of man and he humbled himself to be a bondservant. He wasn't recognized for who he was. I believe him when he said, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? I believe that he could. I also believe that he totally gave that up and he wasn't going around boasting to everybody. He told that to his disciples to let them know who he was and where he was, but he wasn't going around boasting of himself. If anything, what did he say? I can do nothing of myself. I speak nothing of myself. As I hear from my Father, that's what I speak. As I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Giving glory and honor to the Father in everything, in the way he said, this is how you pray. This is how we live. He became the way, the truth, and the life to bring us to the Father. He laid down his life that we would have life. He didn't do it in a way that was boastful of himself. He did it in a way that showed humility. And God is so incredibly humble. That's why David can say in Hebrews, what is man that you're mindful of us? Why do you even think of us this way, God? You love us so much. You are so wonderful, God. And so we have one who loves us, who desires that we would be with love for others. And he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. We have to ask ourselves, do we raise the flag when we do good things? What are we doing for the Lord? The genuineness of worship is founded in humility, to humble ourselves before him. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. The world is totally against this thinking. It's just all around us all the time. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Prophecies are going to fail. Tongues fail. Knowledge, it's going to fail. You realize all the knowledge problems go away. That's why he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to have love and esteem the interests of others better than ourselves, to have a way of thinking that is about people and not about head knowledge. Do you realize that we have so many doctrinal differences in our gathering, right? If we go down a list, you know, Crystal and I do. All right, Crystal, do you believe this? I think we have a lot of agreement, but I think somewhere down the line we're going to disagree. I know my wife and I have things we don't agree on. Josh, I can see it on your face. There's just those of us that are like, yeah, David, I don't agree. Guess what? When it comes to knowledge, when it comes to what's happening, revelations, guess what? We all stand before the glory of the Lord. And you know what he can do in a moment? He can put it all in line. All of it. But we get off course because we focus so heavily on the differences. Then what happens is our love for one another goes away. And we would rather attack and do it. And how do I know? I preach. Hello, my name is David. I'm a Pharisee. I have judged, I've condemned, I've looked down upon. I'm in recovery. I'm a sinner in recovery. Thank you, Dave. You're the only one. Yeah, everybody was supposed to say that when I said, hello, I'm David. Not enough meetings in this church. Maybe we're going to have to do that more often. Put me off the pedestal. I am a sinner, sanctified, justified, with a hope of glory in Jesus, my Savior. And I know the same for you, no matter what you and I think of ourselves, that's the only way. There is no other path. There is no other life. And until we come to embrace the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he's doing, we're missing it all. Don't you see? It's all going to fade away. All these gifts, though, they can be used for very good things toward the goal, but they can also just be for naught if we don't do it with love and humility. Do you remember the sad words of Matthew 7? Where they came saying, Lord, Lord. And they said, we did wonders in your name. We did these mighty things in your name. He said, I never knew you. See, better that no one ever knows you and the Lord does. You only need to know one. If you focus on the one, everything else will happen. We find our life not by abiding in the world and trying to help the world see something about us. We find ourselves when we abide in Jesus and he refines us and we have a true and genuine relationship with him. And then he can take us and use us however he wants to, because we say, I'm yours. I present myself as a living sacrifice. I'm available for your service. And I don't have to angst on that because I know that this church started because he said so. I didn't have to do anything. I know the church in Dallas started because he said so. I didn't have to do anything. I get to be along for the ride. You're along for the ride. Now, where are you going? It's God's will for you to show you where to go. My job is to equip you for that service. And what I'm trying to equip us with today is we have to be in a spirit of humility and lowliness before the Lord to seek him, because the whole point of having the ministries in the church is to bring people to the point of knowing Christ so that we can do the work we're supposed to do and not go off on all the other tangents, not being tossed around with every wind of doctrine. We preach the word of God because in it is truth. It is what saves us. It is what brings us to the Lord. And we hear the word, we believe the word, and we act on the word. And God is calling forth a people now in this time to stand up with a calling out to say to this world, return to the Lord. Listen to what he says. Give him a chance. Do you realize this word has really not been preached for hundreds of years? And I don't know how far we have to go back to just say, just read what it says. Please just read what it says. Because in this are the words of life. His words are eternal and they are life. They are spirit and life. And they give spirit and life to us, the church, that we might be who he's called us to be, that we might do what he's called us to do, that we would bring glory and honor to God our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're all heading the same way. We're all here for this service. And so he says in chapter 14, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Verse 12, and it says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Whatever we do it for the glory of the Lord and for the church to be a prophet to all. I want to recap some of the points that we went over here today. And I want us just to think about some of these things and truly just hopefully meditate on these things, because I think they're profound. First of all, servants are given to equip saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's why apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that's why workers of miracles, that's why those who speak with tongues, interpret tongues, those who are having discernment of spirits, and on, all the various spiritual gifts God can give, it's all for this reason, for bringing forth work, so that every part does a share. Everybody. Well, they say you don't need your appendix. Well, if you're the appendix, we need you. And we want you. Use your gifts to serve. Use them to serve people. If you have a gift, use it. I love hearing Martin get up here and sing today. I don't know if I missed the last times, but it felt like it's been a while. Use the gifts. God gives you a gift. Use it. What a beautiful thing it was to hear his praises and the worship team and all the different things that we can do in here, but so many things that we can do outside these walls. Differing gifts cause differing ministries, cause differing activities. Why is this such a profound thing? Not everybody's going to do the same thing. I'll tell you a story personally. When Scott and I went into ministry, we've had an amazing unity in thinking and approach to God and his word. But when Scott knew I was being called to start this church, he said, "Can I help?" And I was like, "Yes." And we have been the pastors of this church since its beginning. And Scott and Carolyn and Stephanie and I have served here because we were the only adults. And that's how we had to be. But the thing is, when God called Scott to do the Go Mobile ministry, I wanted more with that, and God said no. Every time I asked, I wanted to do more. But God had a different work for me to do. And I felt sad sometimes, like, because my heart is for that ministry. But God had said no. And then when God calls me to go to Dallas, Scott's like, "David, this is for you now. This is not what I'm being called to. It's for you." Now, he's come on board since that time, not because of coming on board, but just because now he sees his calling there too. But the thing is, you're not all going to do the same things. And don't you think everybody needs to do the same thing with you and realize that if we're doing this right, each one will do what God calls them to do. As the Spirit gives gifts individually, do it. See, we can all do lots of ministries, but we're not all called to do lots of ministries, because maybe it's just better that, "David, maybe you just need to focus here right now. Okay, now I can let you focus here and here, but you need help here." You've got to go where God leads you. Don't try to manipulate what God's doing. And even when God tells you what's going to happen in your life, don't manipulate that. I've tried many times. I always fall on my face. I have words from the Lord that I've received over 20 years ago. And not all of it's come to pass. A lot of it has, but not all of it. There's no playing around now. You know what? I'm at your service. Just let yourself realize I'm at your service. So when I have opportunities to serve, what do? I have to pray and say, "God, do you want me here?" Because not everybody's going to do it. Don't be disappointed when people don't join your ministry, because maybe it's not for them. Now, church, let's not be a lazy church. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Don't be so consumed with yourself that you write off every opportunity of service, because that's a different sermon for a different day. We are to be engaged in good works for the Lord. But sometimes God says, "No, I don't want you there." Remember, even the Holy Spirit said to Paul, "Don't go preach there." Literally stopped Paul from preaching the gospel. You'd say, "When would ever God stop the preaching of the gospel?" It happened. You can read about it in the book of Acts. It can happen. Do what God wants. Everyone has gifts. Everybody. So you've got them. Let's bring them out. Let's pray that God would manifest those gifts. Use them in humility and love. There is no other way than love. Nothing else. Every use of gifts has to be with humility and love. And then seek spiritual gifts in order to edify the body. My friends, This is what we've been called to do as a church, to know our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is no other calling that we have. And in this process, we become part of his body, and we are here to take of the things that come by his presence, by his spirit within us, that we might be a blessing to one another and a blessing to all those God is calling to this church. May he bring in the harvest, and may he bring those that he wants to be here. And so when they come, that we might have the gifts that we need to be of true, genuine, and good service to each one. All glory and praise to God. Let's praise him.